This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And it's always a lot of interesting stuff on technology. Every single week, the U.S. government is going to deploy 4,000 cyber warriors. It's a big initiative on, the cybersecurity rules. NSA is tightening up their control over classified information, given the fact that Snowden downloaded so much stuff and released it. And he was just an SAIC contractor. It kind of shows some problems in terms of controls. Have you heard about a couple of people getting electrocuted while they were charging their iPhone in China?
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
I'll tell you.
I'm going to tell you what not to do when you get your iPhone charger.
This hits close to home.
I know. Now, Detroit is going bankrupt, but the tech scene in Detroit is robust. So we'll talk about some of the technology, some of the startups going on there. It's really quite hopeful to the city. Now, today we're going to feature the man that started Bose Acoustics, Amar Bose. He died about a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. He was quite a great engineer, really a great man. He's done so many things. I want to feature him. And in honor of that, I'm wearing my Bose noise cancellation earphones for the show.
Which means you can't hear a thing I say.
No, I can't.
Unless we're on the air.
Unless we're on the air. I can't hear anything.
Nope.
Everything is blocked out. It reminds me, about 25 years ago, I wanted a set of Bose speakers. You know, the ones that have the speakers on the back. They have eight small speakers that reflect against the wall and one speaker forward-looking. So there are nine small speakers. There are nine in this particular Bose unit. And these then, for a pair of them, was $600. This was 25 or 30 years ago.
That was a fortune.
So I built my own.
I think I've heard this story before, but it's worth retelling.
Yeah, so I built my own. Yeah, I'll have to retell it because of this, who we're commemorating today. So this was, of course, Amar Bose was associated with MIT. So naturally, the MIT kids wouldn't want to spend $600 for speakers. So they actually came up with plans. They actually had the circuit diagram and the circuit board for the Bose nonlinear amplifier, which we got a copy of, like the 15th Xerox copy of it. So we built the nonlinear amplifier, and then we cut all the boards, put mahogany veneer on it. We bought the exact speakers that Bose used, and it's basically these are 8-ohm speakers, and you hook them up three in parallel, three in series. You got a 3x3, so the final result is also 8 ohms.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just wired the thing up, and then you stuff it full of insulation, and these things just work great.
So you did this at home. His pair, were they $600 a piece or $600 for the pair?
I can't remember.
How much did it cost you materials to do this?
I don't know. But it wasn't
$600.
No, because the circuit board was almost free. I mean, because you just attach it and make it, and so I think maybe the components might have been $30, and then I got the wood, probably another $20. I mean, I probably spent $100. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think I really spent that much money, and I had quite a bit of fun doing it.
Sure.
And now my son has them. They still live.
Wow.
Oh yeah, they still live. He's got them down in Richmond.
How big are these things?
They are about 4 feet wide and about 2 feet tall, and they've got this angle back where they got four speakers. So the back is basically two angled boards that are angled out at about 30 degrees.
Sure.
So you got four speakers on one side, four on the other, And it was actually a fun. I learned a lot about how speakers work and a lot about Bose speakers at the time. Now, if I would want one, I think I would just buy it.
Well, you're, I think, in a position now where you could afford that.
That's right. And, of course, it was a huge mailbag.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Yes. We got an email from John in Oakton. Dear Tech Talk, is there a simple way to set up a conference call using my iPhone? It would be convenient to simply be able to do this anytime, anywhere. Love the show. Thanks, John in Oakton. Well, John, you are in luck. The iPhone lets you merge up to 5 phone calls at the same time.
That's amazing.
That's right. And then you can turn it into a conference call. So making a conference call on your iPhone is extremely easy. First of all, you make a call to the first person, and then you put them on hold. Then on that screen, there's something called Add Call. You click Add Call. You make another call. And then there is an option to say merge the calls, and then you merge those two together. And then you put the merged calls on hold and add a call, and you can continue this until you have 5 people in the conference. And so it's really quite easy to do. Now the iPhone is actually a 2-line phone, so when you're making a new phone call, you're actually using the second line to call out, and then when you merge them into one, you're actually merging them into the second line coming into the iPhone. Now, if you want to drop a call from the conference, you simply tap conference and then tap the red circle with the little picture that appears next to a name, and that will end that, it will drop that particular caller from the conference. You can speak privately to one of the people. You simply tap conference again and then click private and then click the name of the person you want to talk privately with. And then you can just simply click merge calls to go back into the conference again. Now, if somebody calls in and you want to add them to an existing conference, you just simply add them by holding the call you're on, and then you answer it then, and then you follow it with the merge call. So it's extremely easy to do. After having been through all of that stuff, let me tell you how I actually do it. I downloaded a free application, Uber Conference, because while that doesn't that just sound a little complicated?
It sounds awfully German, too.
Uber Conference. So here's the thing is with Uber Conference, this is free. You basically decide who you want in the phone call, and you set up the time for the phone call. Like, I want to make a conference call at 2:00 tomorrow, and you could put all these people in a group, so you could easily just add the group. And then what happens at the time of the conference call? Uber Call calls everybody, and they're in the conference.
Huh.
And it also sends them an email, so they could click on the email, and it would bring them into the conference.
Wow.
And then Uber Call, you've got everybody's picture there, so you can actually decide. You can talk privately. You can actually control the phone call quite nicely with Uber Call. So I have to say, after going through all that complicated stuff, for those of you that want to use the iPhone protocol,
just get Uber Conference.
I just did Uber Conference, EUBER Conference, and it's really. The U-B-E-R, and that's U with an umlaut, but you know that's a little two little dots above it.
Right.
But you don't need the umlaut in order to get it. Just look for Uber Conference, and you will get a great application. By the way, Uber Conference was the app of the year for 2012, and so it really got great, great reviews. We have an email from a loyal listener in Bethesda. Dear Doc and Jim, I want to give away my old computer to a friend. How do I remove all my personal information before giving it away? Loyal listener in Bethesda. Well, unfortunately, it's pretty difficult to get rid of all that personal information. Because the problem is you've got information stored all over your system. You've got it in the registry and data files and the programs that are installed. Even in some programs may save data in completely unknown and non-standard locations. Now, I have to tell you what I always actually do is just wipe the hard drive, and I just do DBAN, which is Derek's boot and nuke. DBAN, Derek's boot and nuke, and that will completely erase the hard drive. Then you can reinstall Windows from scratch, and then you know it's clean. And you, any other applications you want to give them, you could. If you don't want to give them like Microsoft Office, because you want to transfer the license to your new computer, download a copy of say OpenOffice, which is free. If you don't want to give them, say, Photoshop, you could get the free version of PaintShop Pro, and there are various open source programs you could download to give them a suite of applications that would be quite good. That mm-hmm. would be my recommendation. We got a comment from Ken Hutchison on Facebook.
So this doesn't happen much. This is good.
Yeah. So Ken sent this. We got this comment last week, actually. If the show is live, he sent it in at 3 a.m. in the morning because he knows that.
You're doing show prep.
That's when I do show prep. He said, if the show's live today, you may want to be, and you may be preparing for it now. And actually, Ken, I was. I don't know if you've heard that Amar Bose died. He's not in IT, but he's important in consumer technology. And actually, I couldn't do it last week because I was doing someone else who had died.
Right.
And so, but Amar Bose was a great guy to highlight. And so thanks for that. That suggested. We also got a comment from Amara on Facebook, and she also suggested Amar Bose. So I got two listeners that are really on the ball trying to give us good suggestions for mm-hmm. profiles in IT. We got a comment from James Messick on Facebook. Is there an easy way to search the show archives? This was actually a few weeks ago. I was trying to find reference to cell phone amplifiers and couldn't find a search feature on your website. The search box in the main page seems restricted to the academic portion of the site. I tried using Google search with stratford.edu, but the results were not satisfactory. Thanks. Well, Ken, thanks for that request. James, thanks for that request. I asked our programming team to add a search box on the Tech Talk homepage.
Ooh.
Because you are right. The search box on the front of the site was restricted only the academic pages.
Uh-huh.
So I had them add a search just dedicated to the Tech Talk comment content. They just got it done yesterday, and it seemed to work pretty well. But this morning I checked the keywords that you were interested in, and I didn't really get a satisfactory hit. So there's mm-hmm. still something wrong with it. So I'm going to have them go back and work on it some more. But we are working on this.
Basically, the doc was doing some beta testing this morning.
I was doing beta testing today. Yeah, it could be even alpha testing.
Probably
yeah,
so.
It's
yes.
alpha testing. It hasn't even reached beta testing yet. But you can try it, and it works better than the one on the front. But I'm not satisfied with it yet. But that was a great comment. So I'll tell you that's. That is it for the emails. And I think we love all your emails.
Yes, we do.
Send us emails to techtalk@stratford.edu, and we'll cover them on the show, or else we'll get back to you. And, of course, you can always go to techtalkonline.com to get the podcast. And we love you to go and look at the Stratford University website, stratford.edu, and check out those programs and let them know that you heard about them on Tech Talk.
And along with doing alpha testing, you're also doing something else over there, the Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I am monitoring the Facebook page real time during the show.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be facebook.com/techtalkonline. And go there and make any comments during the show, and we might talk about them.
It is Saturday morning, and this is a live edition of Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, and 107.7 FM HD2. Stand by, we will have more right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to be discussing Amar Gopal Bose, B-O-S-E. Amar Gopal Bose was founder and chairman of the Bose Corporation, a company known for innovative audio products. Bose's research on psychoacoustics, or sound perception, revolutionized the speaker industry. I'll explain that a little bit later.
Okay.
Psychoacoustics.
Mm-hmm.
Bose was born November 2nd, 1929, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. His father was from India. His mother was from America. His father was an Indian freedom fighter who fled Calcutta in the 1920s. They were fighting against the British, mm-hmm. trying to get independence from the Brits. During World War II years, he hired a few of his close friends as co-workers, and in his small home, he set up a business repairing model trains and home radios to supplement the family income. He was already kind of an entrepreneurial guy in his early teens. After graduating from Abington Senior High School in Abington, Pennsylvania, Bose enrolled in MIT, at MIT, and he graduated with a BS in electrical engineering in 1951. Bose spent a year at Eindhoven, Netherlands, in the research labs of N.V. Phillips Electronics, and he spent a second year as a Fulbright research student in New Delhi, India, going back to his ancestral roots. He completed his Ph.D. in electrical engineering from MIT in 1956, writing a thesis on nonlinear systems. Following graduation, Bose became an assistant professor at MIT, and he actually continued teaching at MIT until 2001. When he first started teaching, he bought a high-end stereo system that had really the greatest of specs. This was in 1956, right after he hit the money, got his assistant professorship job, got his PhD, said, okay, I'm going to buy those speakers. He set them up. And he was disappointed that they just did not sound like a live performance.
Mm-hmm.
So his research on acoustics led him to invent a stereo loudspeaker that would reproduce in the home the dominantly reflected sound field that characterizes the listening space of an audience in a concert hall. His focus on psychoacoustics became the hallmark of his company's audio products. So before Bose, the idea for speakers was to have a linear reproduction of exactly the audio track that was on the record. Everything was linear. You wanted to have an absolutely linear amplifier. You wanted to have your speakers reproduce exactly, or as close as you could, that audio track. Well, the problem is that did not lead to sound like you'd get it in the concert hall, because in the concert hall, the sound bounces off the walls and very little of the sound actually reaches you directly. Moreover, the concert hall absorbs the sound. And so what you finally hear is not a linear rendition of the sound, but the sound as it's been modulated by the concert hall. And so he said it's not so important to have the sound be exact linear reproduction of the record. What is important that you want to reproduce the exact sound that someone receives when they're sitting in a concert hall.
Mm-hmm.
So this is psychoacoustics. The cycle, you know, how you can psychologically
you're tricking the mind into thinking that you're there, right?
Yeah, And so the Bose speakers that I made, because I didn't want to spend $600, they had 9 8-inch small speakers that had huge magnets, and there were 8 of them projected against the wall. So and they were at about a 30-degree angle. So I had 4 in one direction, 4 in the other direction. So the sound from the 8 on the backside bounced off the back wall. So I had to put my speaker about a foot or two from a flat surface, and the sound would bounce off the wall.
I was just about to ask, so positioning it against the wall properly is key into making,
yeah,
making
you,
it work.
You don't
properly.
Want to put it in the corner of the room. You mm-hmm. want a flat surface.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could just imagine how the sound would bounce from that. And then there was eight were backward facing. One was forward facing, so you had a total of nine. And then in order to compensate for the fact that the room changes and modulates it, he had a nonlinear amplifier, and he tuned it up in a way that would reproduce the way that the sound would be when you received it. So, for instance, I mean, we had these small speakers, and so as you would expect, you have to really boost the bass.
Sure.
So that nonlinear speaker in the lower frequencies just really had higher gain, and at the high frequencies had lower gain. And so he basically tuned this particular speaker or this amplifier to match the features in the room. He tuned the system to the room. And in so doing, he was able to achieve a sound that sounded like you close your eyes and you can imagine that you were in the concert hall. And so this was really revolutionary. It was a tremendous idea, and it really did work. He basically then after he invented this, one of his advisors was Dr. Y.W. Lee,
mm-hmm.
and he advised him. He said, "Why don't you start a company?" And so he turned to angel investors, and Dr. Lee was one of the angel investors, and there were others. And he got seed money, and he started Bose Electronics. Dr. Lee was his MIT thesis advisor, by the way. Now, Bose was awarded two significant patents in two fields that continue to be an important part of the Bose combinations. The patents were in the areas of loudspeaker design and in nonlinear two-state modulated Class D power processing. That, of course, that patent would have covered the circuit board that we built ourselves with this bootleg circuit mm-hmm. Design. But we weren't selling it, so it really wasn't a patent violation, I don't think.
No, you're using it for your own.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Unless you're selling tickets for people to come over and listen to Jimi Hendrix in your...
I'll have to consult with my lawyer after the show to see if there's any problem there.
Sure.
Now, the company, the Bose, now it employs 9,000 people worldwide, and it has products for the home, the car, as well as for professional audio. You've got Bose audio systems in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Bose, of course, I'm wearing these noise cancellation headset.
What's that?
Yeah, you know, you're going to have to upgrade your headset, Jim.
These work for what I need them for.
It's pathetic. It is pathetic.
It looks like I'm wearing kitchen sponges, doesn't it?
You don't look like a radio professional with those headset.
You know, those are fighting words.
Yeah, I know. You know, they look like little yellow earmuffs.
These are Sennheisers, my friend. These are state of the art for
what we do. They are.
These are
Okay. Now, then what we're going to do, then he also did this sort of this phased array acoustic where you get this linear line of sort of this, it's a long thin speaker, and it basically uses noise cancellation to direct the direction of the audio. So you think it's coming from the right side, but actually this phased array is just adjusting the phase of the acoustics to make you think that you've got speakers in different parts of the room. It actually is quite impressive. And so when they demonstrate this particular thing, you go to the Bose store, they'll have on the wall something that looks like a speaker with a black cloth over it,
mm-hmm.
and they'll turn it on, and you look at it, and you think sound is coming out of this speaker with the black cloth on it. So after you listen to the entire demonstration, they pull the cloth, and it turns out it's just a shelf. There's nothing there.
Huh.
And that was all done with just controlling the phase and they do constructive and destructive interference like a phased array in order to adjust the direction of the acoustic wave.
So does this work, you know, in particular with the speakers that are in line and you have all these little speakers in line, do you achieve the effect because of where the sound waves cross, you create a null? Is that what happens?
It's like interference. So when the sound comes to you because of the interference pattern,
mm-hmm.
You're because there's a slight phase difference between the two ears. That's why you think it comes from the right or the left.
Basically,
so it's adjusting the phase the arrival time of the wave to trick you to think it's coming from one direction or the other.
So it's basically, it's tricking your mind.
That's
basically
right. And so this works very well for high and mid frequencies. It doesn't work for bass, but then a bass is not really that directional anyway. Mm-hmm. It's the high frequencies that directional.
So you have a separate speaker just for the bass.
That's right. And then, of course, they had the Bose radio. Now, have you ever looked inside of a Bose radio?
It's like a maze of channels in there, right?
It has an exponential horn on the bass. And so, an exponential horn on the bass, what that does, that creates an absolute impedance match, so you get no reflections from the interface. So if you take an impedance-matched acoustic interface, you get no reflections. That would be equivalent to an anti-reflective coating on a lens. Mm-hmm. You don't get any reflection off the interface, and so you get very efficient coupling of the acoustic wave to the air. And so it sounds like a huge speaker, and you can actually feel wind blowing out of the front of that thing. But the exponential horn is so long that they have to wrap it around in this, and so it looks like it's snaked around all inside of the unit. But you notice it keeps getting wider and wider and wider until it finally comes out. And so that was a revolutionary design, that Bose Wave radio.
Right.
So these were all items that he. Actually, I did buy that Bose radio. I didn't build it. So I bought two Bose products in my life.
A Wave radio?
I have a Wave radio, and I've got these. I forgot about that. So I actually did buy two products, and I only bootlegged one.
Building a Bose Wave radio would be a little bit more involved.
That would have been really tough. Now, he never took his company public. It was privately held because he wanted to pursue risky long-term research. And, Bose worked on things like, absorbers, shock absorbers for the car. He had all kinds of projects that he was working on, and he just loved to work on this stuff. He didn't want to have a bunch of stockholders telling him he had to make money every quarter. So many people have called Bose acoustics the Apple for acoustics devices.
Interesting.
Because Apple just, Steve Jobs just worked on what he wanted to. He just wasn't focused on the profit of the next quarter. Now, in addition to running his company, Bose remained a professor at MIT until 2001.
Mm-hmm.
In 2007, he was listed on the Forbes 400 as the 271st richest man in the world with a net worth of $1.8 billion. He actually didn't care so much about money, to tell you the truth. In 2009, he was no longer on the billionaires list, but he returned to the list in 2011 with a net worth of $1 billion.
He bought a few of his own Wave radios and knocked them down a little bit.
Maybe he got a sailboat or something. I don't know. In 2011, listen to this, Bose donated the majority of his company's shares as non-voting stock to MIT. Now, on the condition that they could never be sold. So MIT has no management. These are non-voting. They do not participate in the management of Bose. They can't sell the shares. But anytime Bose pays a dividend, MIT gets their percentage of the dividend.
That's nice.
And he did that because he felt that the education that he received at MIT and the support that he did at MIT really made a difference, and he wanted to continue to invest in education going forward. I mean, that's really quite amazing. He died July 12, 2012, at age 23 in Wayland, Massachusetts. So there you go. Amar Gopal Bose, the founder and chairman of the Bose Corporation, a company known for their innovative products.
Outside of electrical engineering, if somebody wanted to get into this kind of line of work, what sort of things would you recommend that they study? Mathematics, is that something to be important in this?
This was mathematics. He was actually this was electrical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, this probably would be a field within electrical engineering, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Now, the speaker that you made, did you need two of these, or was it just one
two,
of these?
Two.
So you have one against the one flat wall. Would the other have to be against the opposing flat wall?
No. They're both against the flat wall
in the same
front,
wall. Okay.
In the front of the room.
Okay.
So they're both stationed, you know, so I put them, I have a flat wall in the front of the room, and they're on either side of that front wall, and then, you know, facing with the eight speakers facing toward the wall. And I'll tell you, they sounded quite good.
And they're still around.
They're still around. And I'll you know what I did? I put on mahogany veneer. This turned out to be a huge job. I didn't realize how, you know, I had to, you know, glue down the mahogany veneer, then to cut pieces of mahogany for the edge. I mean, it was like a piece of furniture.
The wood that you use is also critical in terms of how this thing's going to sound, isn't it?
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so this was a special kind of particle board that I use.
Mm-hmm.
It was particle board that was specifically required for this speaker. So I got this specific, it was 3/4 inch thick, the specific particle board. And then I turned into a furniture maker with this mahogany veneer. So it was a fun project that I did once, and I'll never
and
do it
again. And your
son
has them now, right?
He's got them now, yep.
That's amazing. Well, they're still out the house. So how old are they? I mean, you were in school when you did this, right?
Yeah, they're like 30 years more old, 30
wow.
or 35 years old. Yeah, they'll last forever.
Amazing. Well, there you go. Doc the Speakmaker and Amar Bose here on Tech Talk Radio. You're listening to Tech Talk. We're on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2 and 103.5 FM HD2. We'll have more coming up right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Technology is constantly changing. An effective IT manager must not only understand the possibilities and limitations of the technology, but also the requirements and constraints of the business world. Enhance your career today with a master's degree from Stratford University School of Computer Information Systems. Classes are offered day, evening, and weekends to match your busy schedule and are taught by experienced faculty members with industry experience. Earn your master's degree in as little as 15 months with an accelerated program in software engineering, information systems, information assurance, or telecommunications. Learn more about earning your master's degree from Stratford University at stratford.edu or call 1-800-444-0804. Disclose statements available at stratford.edu/disclosures. Stratford University, 1-800-444-0804.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
Yes, this is not a radio show. This is a classroom of the airways. And if it is the classroom of the airways, of course, there's going to be an assessment. So we have a pop quiz as the assessment. If you get the correct answer to the pop quiz, you'll get two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room or the Karim Dining Room. Earlier in the show, I was talking about Amar Gopal Bose, not Booze, Bose. And let me adjust my noise.
I think the noise canceling is also doing some brain canceling
Let me adjust my noise cancellation headphones here a bit. And so while he demonstrated his entrepreneurial skill while he was just a young man, and what was the business that he started where he demonstrated his skills prior to his Bose Electronics, his Bose acoustic activity.
There you go. So if you know the answer to that question, actually there could be two possible answers to that. He was doing two different things at home. Give us a call. The number, if you're calling from east of Eindhoven in the Netherlands, is 877-936-9333. If you're calling from west of Calcutta, India, it's 877-936-9333. The wild card line for everybody, including all of us here in the Washington, D.C. area, is 877-936-9333. But wait, there's yet another option.
That's right. If you want to call us from Calcutta, India, You can reach us.
We already covered that.
I know. You can reach us on Skype. Oh, you already covered that?
Yeah, I said
you
can't bring those headphones anymore because it is completely wiping out your concentration.
If you want to reach us from Somalia.
Fine. Good enough.
You can reach us on Skype. Simply connect to Tech Talk Radio 1, and that'll be forwarded directly to the studio, free of charge.
You know, before we move on, one of the things about Mr. Bose that strikes me, and this is something that you've mentioned multiple times on this radio show, is if you're looking to get into a career doing something, mm-hmm. while you're studying to do it, there are ways to do it, to come up with things to put on your resume.
That's right.
To show to a potential employer that this is something that you're interested in and that you can do, right?
No, that's exactly right. We do that a lot at Stratford. This gets at the old chicken and the egg problem. How can I get experience without a job?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I get a job without experience? And so this is the conundrum. But actually, nobody said your experience had to be paid. So if you're trying to get a job in IT, you could install Linux server, you could install an Apache web server, you could install MySQL and make a database-driven website. There, you could install Oracle, set up a simple Oracle application using the student version of Oracle. There's a lot of stuff that you could do that would be free of charge, and then you could talk about these projects as you're going out on the job market. And I'll tell you, if I'm hiring somebody in technology, I ask them what they've done. That's really all that I care about. So, like at Stratford, all of our courses are built around projects. And so, especially in IT, we'll have projects. So, by the time the student gets out, they got a whole series of projects they've worked on. So, that's actually what they talk about. So, that's kind of a good idea to get a job and transition into a job.
And that gets back to our question today. Basically, Amar Bose was doing stuff at home.
That's right.
Before he actually got into this.
That's
so if
right.
you can, if you know the answer, what it is that he was doing, one of two answers, then give us the call. It's 877-936-9333. Doc, continue, please.
He was trying to earn a little extra money while he was still living at home. Well, we got a couple of comments last week that were interesting. Remember, we're talking about Flickr as online photo storage, and James Messick pointed out that just about a month ago, Flickr went to 1 terabyte of free storage for storing photos, which is quite good. I think I gave a different storage amount then. They just had recently gone up. And then Ken Hutchison wrote in. They said at that time the patent was 17 years. Because if you remember, we were talking about that the mouse had been patented by the inventor of the mouse, Engelbart, and SRI held the patent. And then Apple then got the rights to the patent for $40,000. And so the question was, when was Microsoft able to sell a mouse and have a mouse that would help drive their operating system? And that didn't occur until after 1990 because the patent was 17 years old. So it lasted 17 years at that time. And so after 1990, Microsoft was able to do it. So that was an excellent comment from Ken and from James last week on the show. Now,
I think we could probably play the pop quiz right now.
Okay,
very
good.
Let's do that. And let's go to line two. This is Carol calling from Silver Spring, Maryland. Carol, can you hear us?
Hi, I can hear you.
Thanks for calling. And Dr. Schertz, if you would please ask the question.
Yes, earlier in the show we talked about Amar Gopal Bose. How did he earn a little extra money while he was still living at home, involving some of his friends?
He repaired model trains and home radios.
That is correct. That is correct.
Carol, thanks a lot. You're a big winner. Dr. Schertz, tell her what she's
doing.
You
win 2 tickets to Fine Dining, the Escoffier Dining Room, or the Karim Dining Room. One is in Woodbridge, one is in Falls Church. Just stay on the line, give your name and email address to Andrew, and we'll get the tickets out to you next week.
Carol, thanks a lot. Stand by, and Andrew will be right with you. And you are indeed listening to Tech Talk Radio. This is Federal News Radio on 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. We'll be back with more Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
budget analyst, a vice president of sales. These are today's business leaders, and a degree from Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers you a powerful path to navigate the corporate world. The School of Business Administration at Stratford University offers both bachelor's and master's degree programs for a real-world education. In fact, many of today's Stratford business grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. An executive chef at a trendy restaurant, a hotel general manager at a prestigious resort. These are the high-profile positions in the culinary arts and hospitality management industry. Get working towards your bachelor's or master's degree at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus. In fact, many of today's Stratford culinary arts and hospitality grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And there was an incredible artist who has just released some of her artwork at a show in Scotland. This is a woman who was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease in 2007. Heidi Futzner.
Yeah. And she's got an umlaut, too.
That's right. Futzner. And
this is your show that specializes in umlauts.
That's right. And so this year, she's exhibiting her paintings, get this, all created by her mind controlling the computer. This is a remarkable triumph of mind over matter. The exhibit is called Brain on Fire, and it opened Friday on Eastdale, a small island off the west coast of Scotland. Now, the visitors will see a vibrantly colored digital paintings, all created by the paralyzed artist. She's now paralyzed. She can't move anything. And she uses a computer program that lets her control digital brushes, shapes, and colors by concentrating on specific points on the screen. Feitzner said, for the first time, this project gives me the opportunity to show the world that ALS has not been the end to my life. So she started making, and I'll explain how she does this, she started making these paintings. And then her dream was to exhibit the paintings, and she had always visited her daughter on this island where her daughter lives, and she wanted to have an exhibit on the island, and she needed money to do it. So she went on to the crowdsourced website Start Next, and she put out a crowdfunding site, and she put out a request to get funding for up to $6,500 in order to give her the funds to have this exhibit. And she raised the money. And so this paid for her to be transported there with all the medical personnel. It paid for getting the space. And she actually, through this crowdfunding site, was able to have this exhibit. Futzner is a former English teacher from Leipzig, Germany. And she brain paints using Intendix, I-N-T-E-N-D-I-C-D-I-X, Intendix, painting software from the biomedical firm G-Tech. When she's settled in her wheelchair in front of two monitors, she wears an electrocephalogram cap. It's a cap with all these contacts on it, and they're connected. They sort of just touch her head, and then one screen displays a matrix of tools, and the other screen displays the canvas, which mm-hmm. shows the picture as it evolves. So what she does, she looks at the tools on the screen, on the left screen, which has all the tools, and as Futzner focuses on the tool she wants to select, she counts the flashes on that tool. So the tools are like flashing at a different rate. So she counts the flashes on the tool, and that causes her brain activity to spike, so they can tell what tool she's looking at. The computer determines which option she's focusing on by comparing the timing of the brain waves to the timing of the desired flashing tool. Now, similar computer systems have helped others with disabilities. You know, it allowed a man with locked-in syndrome to tweet through his eye movement, for example. It allowed a quadriplegic woman to control a robotic arm to manipulate objects. Futzner has worked closely with the brain-computer interface team at the University of Würzburg. ALS is a debilitating, progressive, non-degenerative disease characterized by widespread muscle atrophy, and it affects mobility, speaking, swallowing, breathing. Money raised through her Start Next campaign went toward printing and framing her work, as well as transferring her and her nursing team. This is actually an inspirational story of someone who overcame would be the worst of adversity and still could triumph with her Brain on Fire exhibit. I was inspired by that.
Interesting story. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. Stand by. More Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. DEF CON to feds. Stay away. Since its founding in 1992, the annual hacker conference, known as DEF CON, has encouraged computer geeks of all sorts, including federal agents, to mix and share ideas in their Las Vegas conference. Federal agencies have used the conference for headhunting as they tried to build up their own cybersecurity efforts. But that may come to a halt this year in the wake of disclosures about NSA's allegedly vast cyber surveillance program. For the first time, DEF CON has asked the feds to steer clear of the conference, citing a desire to time out and to give people a chance to cool off. They don't want any fights to break out on the DEF CON conference floor. DEF CON 21 is scheduled for August 1st to 4th in the Rio Hotel in Las Vegas. Now, this is what, there's been a study on why managers really don't understand or get involved too much with security. And our security has done a survey, and they've concluded that cybersecurity just may be too complicated for management to understand. Now, you know, the IT departments have suspected that upper management really doesn't have all their ducks in a line. Yeah, and so now the survey has just about proven it. A new report on the state of risk-based cybersecurity management helps explain why IT employees and their corporate bosses don't see eye to eye about hacking and other computer-based threats. The report is entitled, get this report, "Are Security Metrics Too Complicated for Management?"
That's a little backhanded slap there, isn't it?
Yeah, I wonder who this was written by. And this is the latest installation of an ongoing series by Tripwire and Poneman Institute. The organization surveyed 1,321 U.S. and U.K. workers in IT security, IT operations, IT risk management, business operations, compliance, and enterprise risk management. According to the report, explanations about cybersecurity threats by IT workers get lost in translation in the dialogue with corporate managers. The majority of IT professionals said that the information was too technical to be understood by the non-technical management. Nearly half the respondents said they only communicate with executives when there's an actual security incident. Like, oh, excuse me, boss, we just lost 50,000 Social Security numbers, and we're going to be on the front page of the Washington Post tomorrow.
That gets you on somebody's radar screen.
Yeah. I told you we should have actually tightened up the security around here.
Uh-huh.
So they do listen after the incident. More than a third of the respondents said it takes too much time and resources to prepare a report with all the metrics that senior executives want. And 18% said that management isn't interested in them anyway. that was a fairly...
The number one question, how much is this going to cost us?
That's right. That was a fairly demeaning report on the part of the IT operators.
Mm-hmm.
NSA... is tightening their security controls. You've heard all about Edward Snowden, who got caught hold of all this material, and he's releasing it concerning PRISM and all of our secret surveillance activities. The National Security Agency has imposed new rules designed to sharply restrict the sharing and downloading of top-secret material from its computer networks after review of how Edward J. Snowden, a former SAIC contractor, managed to expose several of the country's most sensitive surveillance programs. First among the new procedures is a two-man rule. Now, it's based on how nuclear weapons are handled. It requires two computer system administrators to work simultaneously when they are inside systems that contain highly classified information. It's not a bad idea,
no.
Actually. That makes a lot of sense. The most sensitive data will be stored in a highly encrypted form with a sharply limited list of system administrators like Mr. Snowden who have access to the data. These changes were announced by General Alexander, who spoke at a security forum. An NSA spokesman blamed the leak of highly classified data partly on decisions made after the investigations into the intelligence failure surrounding September 11, 2001 terrorist attack. Alexander defended the information sharing as necessary. So you see what happened. They used to have all the information compartmentalized so that it wouldn't be widely shared. But then that meant that the wrong people had the information, or people who could have used the information but had other information couldn't share it. So they broke down all these compartmental barriers, and that led to a situation where somebody like Snowden had access to a huge range of information unimpeded. So they're going back to try to figure out how to set up better controls without going back to the pre-9/11, separation that we know doesn't work very well.
Yes, you were going to say.
Yes, the U.S. is about to deploy 4,000 cyber warriors. So they call them cyber warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds better than like geeks. You think, I'm a cyber warrior.
Picture some guy in camouflage with an automatic weapon or something.
I'm a cyber warrior. I've got an automatic mouse.
Actually has tape on his glasses.
Tape on his, mm-hmm. That's right. Maybe he might be wearing Google Glass. Because that would be more cyborg. We're not talking about cyborgs. We're talking about cyber warriors.
Mm-hmm.
They've begun to deploy nearly 4,000 people in the Pentagon's first units devoted to conducting cyber offense and defense operations. They probably found a lot of these folks at DEF CON last year. The description of the Pentagon's new cyber teams will be under General Alexander's command and is the most detailed description yet of one of the military's most closely held projects. The administration recently conceded that it was developing cyber weapons. The best known example of this covert effort, called Olympic Games, which the Bush administration used against Iran's nuclear program. And if you remember, they had the virus that went into the centrifuges in Iran and actually slowed them down until that program was discovered. Obama administration accelerated the program, but it suffered a major setback when the computer worm named Stuxnet escaped from the Natanz nuclear enrichment plant in Iran and replicated itself on the web, where the Iranians and others could download the code that was developed by NSA and its Israeli counterpart, Unit 8200. And we should not even know that, but somebody in the administration announced that. So they could look good, but it was a huge mistake to even announce that. While they may ultimately be modeled on the special operations, which provide fighting expertise to supplement traditional forces, now the cyber force will be drawn from members of the armed forces. I'm glad we're getting into that in a big way, because there's going to be a lot of effort going on at, into the future. And many feel that our next they're going to say our next Pearl Harbor, as they say, may in fact be a cyber attack. That's mm-hmm. what they're worried about.
Doc, I think we should just keep the program here. You've got a lot of other stuff to talk about. Let's just run out the clock here.
Okay, let's talk about the two people that got electrocuted with their iPhones while they were charging their iPhones. Would you like to get more detail on that, Jim?
I would love to hear more details about this.
Okay, a Chinese woman died after a shock she received charging her iPhone. The 23-year-old Chinese woman was allegedly killed via an electric shock that came from her iPhone when it was plugged in and charging. Apple said it would work with authorities to investigate. Ma Alun was using iPhone 4, and the information which we just received suggests that her phone was most likely plugged into an unauthorized third-party charger, which may have been the source of the shock. Also this
Good
week,
grief.
A Chinese man reportedly went into a coma after being shocked while plugging in his iPhone 4. Now, according to the South China Morning Post, unauthorized chargers can be made with cheap components that are not designed to meet the rigorous safety standards that Apple demands.
Mm-hmm.
So, a word of the wise, if you lose your charger and go on to Amazon, don't buy the cheap charger for your iPhone.
But if you were to go to see, I'm a little concerned about this because I bought a non-Apple charger at the Apple Store. So I would suspect that if I got something...
I'd say at the Apple Store, you're okay.
It's probably going to be just fine.
I'd say the Apple Store, you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I actually once saw... We occasionally have to buy new chargers. And I saw a charger for the iPhone that I could have gotten on the internet for like $5. I mean, you know something's wrong there.
It's got to be. Well, so, you know, that's the thing. Mine were cost more than an Apple, so they got to be.
Yeah,
they gotta
so
be good stuff.
They've got to be good stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, Detroit is going bankrupt,
mm-hmm.
but the tech is going strong. Yesterday, this is last week, Detroit filed Chapter 9 bankruptcy. It's the largest city to ever do so. But it turns out they've got a lot of tech startups there. Stick is one of them. They're one of dozens of Detroit-based startups that have called the cities, and they're all in this one building, the Madison Building. They call it home. These guys moved from Silicon Valley. It's a 50,000-square-foot building that once housed Detroit's first major movie theater. And it opened in January, and it's become center of the city's tech scene, hosting about 300 entrepreneurs, investors, developers, including Twitter is there. And so that is actually quite a good thing. They say that they've had trouble. The reason people went there from Silicon Valley is there's so much competition to get to hire people. You got to pay so much money. So they go to Detroit.
Right.
There's less competition. So a small company in Detroit can be as big a deal as Google is in Silicon Valley. And so they said, you know, it's a much better place to work. Stick says they have little trouble finding talent in the city, and we don't have to worry about competing with bloated salary officers and the sexiness factor of the Valley's tech behemoths like Google, Facebook, and Twitter. And so we're just one of the big guys on the block here in Detroit. So it is a great place for tech startups, and it looks like they're going to get a good infrastructure there. There is work now where the University of Michigan is going to try to get some internships there in downtown Detroit to try to get some of the young people to stay there so they can get more young professionals between 25 and 34 to stay in Detroit and build up the tech scene. Well, we're out of time. Listen, we love your emails. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu and go to Tech Talk Online and download the podcast.
If you like today's show, want to hear it again, miss something, tuned in late, you can hear the replay tomorrow at 6 o'clock here on 1500 AM.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program. WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
And sports on the air here on Federal News Radio later today. The homestand for the Nats continues against the Dodgers, 6:30 for the pregame show, first pitch at 7:05. Weather forecast, the heat wave will break later on. Chance for showers and thunderstorms later on today. Highs, again, in the mid-90s, 81 right now in Northwest.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal